And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the benediction that appears at the end of every service of Holy Communion, celebrated according to the tradition of the Book of Common Prayer, the words of St. Paul written to the Philippians are spoken over the faithful Christians who hear. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. Now, if you turn to that passage in Philippians, you'll see that more precisely St. Paul says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The verse begins with and shall, almost as if then, because of the previous verse, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus as a result of following the previous instruction. And what is that? The benediction of St. Paul is contingent upon this imperative. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passeth understanding. Be careful for nothing. Of course, some may hear that and say, oh, good. No. It does not mean to be careless in the modern sense, but rather to be free of cares, to be free of worry. In fact, that's not a suggestion. That's an imperative, a command. Do not worry about things. And instead of worrying, bring everything to God in prayer and thanksgiving. And I'm sorry to beat a drum here, but the word thanksgiving is Eucharist. Bring everything to God in prayer and Eucharist. The reason the benediction sounds the way it does in our liturgy, spoken as a blessing and not as an if-then statement, if you bring prayer and thanksgiving, you will have peace, as it is in St. Paul's epistle, is because that by the end of the liturgy, you have just completed all supplication and all Eucharist, all thanksgiving. At the end of the liturgy and the sacrament, you have been obedient to the command, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, is yours for the taking. And the peace that passes all understanding, you're going to need that. And especially this coming week. Mark the words, not only peace, but in other translations, peace that surpasses, peace that exceeds, peace that transcends your understanding. This is what is available to you, and you'll need it. For today we embark upon the most perplexing week of the Christian liturgical year. The words which we speak, the actions we take, the processions, the veils, the sweetness, the bitterness, the curse, the wincing, the exuberance, the joy, all these paradoxes are never pressed closer together than in these last few days before the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord. The crosses are veiled this week. For to us now, an unveiled cross has become the way of life and peace. But in walking with Christ these last few days, we force ourselves by veiling the crosses to recall that until his work was finished on the cross, to the disciples it was yet a sign not of sweet redemption, but of bitter curse. To the followers of Christ and to the world, it was not eternal victory yet, but rather a deeply humiliating defeat. This Palm Sunday, we process with palms singing, all glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas ring. At the opening of the sanctuary door, we recall the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem, and we take our seats ready to enjoy the reign of this new King. But within moments, we recognize the cross is veiled. In the reading of the Gospel, we recall not that he went up to glory, but that he first suffered pain. And not only the pain of the cross, but also the pain that comes closer to us, the pain of a betrayal, the pain of an abandonment, of curses, raised from some of the same voices that once praised him. For those who cried, "Hosanna," then said, "Crucify." At the end of the gospel today, there is no resolution afforded. And all throughout this week, the entirety of the Passion of Christ will be read for all four of the Gospels without truly resolving the perplexity of Christ crucified, for the cross remains veiled. Days before the new fire of Easter is lit, the light of the sanctuary is truly extinguished, and the tabernacle is emptied, and the altar is stripped, and all is laid bare in blackness and shadow as Good Friday truly descends. But one light is left to shine in the days of Holy Week, and it is that of Maundy Thursday, when Christ, before being betrayed by Judas Iscariot, spoke to the disciples in the upper room and gave them a mandate, which from which the term Maundy Thursday takes its name. Washing their feet, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And with these words having just come from Christ, by whom no greater love was shown than to lay his life down for his friends, our Lord gives to us another mandate. "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." From obedience to this is to come peace that passes understanding. And we shall put that to the test. For in one of the most perplexing moments of the Passion of Christ, our Lord Jesus hangs upon the cross, his blood pouring out to wash away the sins of the world, and from his mouth comes the cry, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When he said it, at the very moment he said it, he was misunderstood. And he is misunderstood to this day. They thought perhaps he was crying out for Elijah. We do not suffer from this misunderstanding, perhaps, but how shall we find peace with those words of our Lord? Jesus Christ, fully God, is omniscient and knows all things, very God of very God, nevertheless here utters a horrible question, a question that arises from our own experience of darkness and ignorance, not knowing. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why am I forsaken? Jesus Christ, fully man, utters the words of ignorance and perplexity and of separation, the words of one whose circumstances pass his understanding, asking why? Why am I forsaken? Rather than avoiding that problem, avoiding those words, perhaps we do well to follow those tortured words of his passion much more closely. For when we do, we see that these words are not his alone. These are the words of King David. Jesus speaks these words from the hymn book of the church. From the cross, our Lord sings to us from the Psalter. Jesus speaks words from the cross that are beyond our understanding, and yet we cannot help but see that we are singing these paradoxical words right along with him. We cannot really understand how it is that Christ may be both abandoned and not abandoned, but perhaps that's not so far. Don't you cry out to God feeling both abandoned and not abandoned? We cannot understand how it is that Christ may be both ignorant and yet knowing. But perhaps that's not so far. Don't you look with perplexity upon your own circumstances and yet know ultimately that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well? We cannot understand how it is that Christ may be both temporal and yet eternal, and yet perhaps that's not so far. Don't we watch our own bodies move towards decline, knowing all the while that eternity has been sown into these hearts and souls of ours? We cannot understand how it is that Christ may be both defeated and yet victorious. But perhaps that's not so far either. For don't we also bear our cross with Christ, knowing that in the end nothing shall separate us from the love of God, and that death will be swallowed up in victory? We end each liturgy with a benediction declaring peace that passes understanding. Let this now be our benediction at the outset of this holy week. As we turn again in veiled wonder towards the cross, let us understand the words of our Lord as we, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. In King David's words, in Christ's words, in our words, of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was yet upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth unto my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be thou not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.